Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This is okay. Really, this is really with Tom and Dave.
Yo!
There you go.
Really, people, like and subscribe us.
Yeah.
Point your pointer at the YouTube. Make a comment at Really with Tom and Dave.
Yeah.
YouTube and on the Instagrams and all places where podcasts are listened to. We are there and we would love your support and comments and all of that.
Is
super great, and it's been great to see those that have commented and enjoyed our George Knapp series, and
which was cool.
I
was even impressed by that, and I'm not impressed by us.
I don't think there's much impressive at all about us, but there we were with the man
acting and, impressive.
That was some cool shit. How are you doing, bud?
I'm good. It's becoming wintry here in New York City. Have you heard of it?
It's East Coast City.
Yeah, it's like, I think it's 32 degrees right now outside my window. Considerably warmer inside my window.
Very holiday. I like that. I like that kind of.
It's feeling very crisp. It's feeling very crisp out there now. Yeah.
Do you have a fireplace of any kind? Do you have a source?
Not an official fireplace.
Radiator. It is New York. Do you have a radiator?
I have a cardboard box that I set on fire.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Something to just, you know. Yeah.
And I have radiant heat. As you do in New York, with that comes with its ghostly bangings and poppings and clicking.
Okay, I was going to ask. Makes a lot of noise.
Oh yeah, but yeah, it's nice here.
Good to see you.
And you? Everything's good in California?
Everything's good. Yeah, a little stressed. Like it's kind of deadline. Some lots of people wanting their shit. Yesterday, and I'm like, I'm working on it. I'm getting there, and I got to talk with Dave too. That's important.
Yeah, we should go on strike again. It was nice and relaxing.
It was just so like, there was nothing. There was nothing to do. That was great. But other than that, it's good. Things are good. I'm looking forward to the holiday.
Yeah,
and I'm looking forward to today's conversation.
Yes, because the non-human intelligences, they don't take the holidays off.
No,
they don't. So we don't either.
They stay at it, and we're after them, and
as the human semi intelligences that we are.
Mm-hmm.
But who's our guest today, Tom?
Let me tell you what's going on today. We have Greg Hunter, a filmmaker, musician, co-host of the podcast Deadly Diocese, and producer and editor of the podcast Seven Deadly Sinners. After spending a decade in Los Angeles, Hunter and his wife moved on to their 70-acre ranch in the middle of nowhere, Colorado. Sounds very cool. An award-winning documentary filmmaker with a lifelong passion for being curious. He has always been a pursuer of the unknown, a true adventurer. He's with us today to talk podcasts, but also about a very unique experience that he had that is UAP related. So without further ado, let's bring Greg to the conversation.
Greg, there he welcome. Is.
Hey, there he is. Thanks for having me.
How are you
turning
doing?
Like a fine-tuned machine here.
Colorado looks beautiful.
It's great.
It looks. It's. Mm. It sounds. I mean, the ranch. What? How? How did this happen? Yeah. That sounds fantastic.
Well, it is fantastic. I'm glad I lived in California for a decade, Tom. You know, been there, been to New York plenty. Love both places, but cost of living's a little steep there. Mm-hmm. And I actually had bought this land in 2017. The drummer of my old band moved out here, and he was doing experiments with hemp seeds. And so we started a company in 2019 after they federally approved hemp to be grown in the US again. And we were doing that for a few years. The pandemic kind of smashed that, but the pandemic gave me the opportunity to convince my wife that it'd be a lot better out on the ranch than being stuck inside where we've got guys in LA outside of our apartment, you know, causing trouble. The police mm-hmm. are outside the door. This was, yeah, we're paying all no kinds fun. Of money to be stuck inside, or we go outside and deal with the protests. So I was like, I got all this land and we don't even have to pay rent.
It does sound nice. And yeah,
I know. It sounds lovely.
Yeah.
What, and is it like rolling? Is it near mountains? Is it woods? Is it farmland? So
I've got 1,000 feet of elevation change on our property.
Oh, wow.
So it starts off, you know, it's the Great Plains. You can look out east and see like 100 miles. You can see the Comanche grasslands. There's nothing out east. And, you know, and then I'm right where like the Cretaceous piece of slate that starts the Rocky starts to jut up out of the earth.
Wow.
And so behind me is a backdrop of two of the youngest volcanoes in North America, the Spanish Peaks. And they exploded in whatever, however many millions of years ago, but there's these giant volcanic dikes that kind of run all along out of my property, which is pretty cool. They look like
very cool
spines of dead dinosaurs or dragons or something.
Yeah.
Out wow. in the
it sounds beautiful.
Plains.
Sounds magical.
I
sounds,
know.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
Sounds and like wildlife. Do you have wildlife?
Tons. I woke up to this morning, let my dog out to pee. There was 50 pronghorn 10 feet from my house. I mean, I had to like make sure he didn't run after him.
Oh, wow.
But yeah. lots of antelope, mule deer. This year, I've been here, like I said, since 2017. So the last 5 years or so, I probably saw 2 bears. This mm-hmm. year, I saw 5 different bears. They were here the entire month of October.
Well, the bears can't afford California either.
Yeah, they're like, fuck this.
Exactly. Yeah, they're moving out.
Yeah.
So
they're what kind of bears? You got to be careful of bears.
Black bears? Only black bears. Yeah, yeah, we don't have any grizzlies as far south as I am. But, I mean, they're still menacing. When you see 400 pounds of black fur and muscle and fat just moving at 30 miles an hour, that's what blew me away, was seeing how fast they move.
Yeah.
Like, and they're not looking, you know, black bears, they see you, they're like, I'm out of here. I ain't dealing with this. If I'm with my dog, if I'm in my truck, they're just gone. But like at the speed at which they take off, because I chased one down one day, one morning in my truck, it was just running along the road. So I was like, I'm curious where he's going.
Let's test his speed.
I mean, yeah, he was flying. I was going 25 and he was just, you know,
they're super fast.
Way faster than me. Yeah. So, but yeah, lots of wildlife and sometimes extraterrestrial life.
Sometimes weirdness, right? Yeah. So let me just preface for a second. We had, so we are, we have a friend in common, a friend of our podcast, friend in general, Avery Siegel, who was helping us here with Really and works with Morbid, that I think you guys were doing with your podcast. This is so she sends us this email because I've known Avery since she was in like Circle Room preschool, because our families are really good friends.
Okay,
and
awesome.
our kids grew up to, you know, my kids grew up with Avery, and so it was just really like funny and wonderful and great that she was able to be involved with this for a minute. But yeah, we were trying to freak her out with UAP stuff, and then she was like, well, my friend Greg, and this, you don't always get this, I guess you do get these emails now that we have this podcast, because normally it's not like, my friend Greg had this like thing happen on his property or adjacent property, and it like a cattle mutilation. And I mean, of course we were like, yeah, hell yeah.
Let's hear
like,
about
we
that.
Wanna,
yeah.
We want to talk to him about that. And but we also, you know, want to talk about your work and all that. But let's find out what prompted what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah. So the day that I decided, I was like, finally, I'm getting to the bottom of this. I had so. Love Avery. Oops. Avery, yeah. We are on the Morbid Podcast Network, and she is like yes. the assistant to the heads of that, and like, you know, is yes. a godsend and helps
we should
us
tell
all.
People that you guys, I started listening to the Deadly Diocese oh, podcast, yeah. Which really cool. which is really interesting.
It's, yes. I don't want spoilers, but I'm going to want to ask some questions. But it's know,
and, for
and,
sure.
And you had before that done Seven Deadly Sins was a podcast that your wife started.
Correct. Well, we started it together. So yeah. me and my wife actually met, this is a whole nother story, by me being her podcast editor before Seven Deadly Sinners. She yeah. had a comedy podcast. She's a comedian and knew you, Dave, for that reason. Uh-huh. Anyhow, she was like, Dave Foley, you're talking to him? And I'm like, well, you're making me feel all worried and pressured now. Now I see you. I'm like, I recognize your
better
face.
Better be nervous. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyhow, regardless, yeah, during the pandemic, we started Seven Deadly Sinners, yeah. and she takes down cult leaders and televangelists who are just selling snake oil and bullshit. So,
yeah. So you're dealing with religious corruption.
Correct.
Which is kind of our... Very interesting.
Yes.
Okay. Well, but, let's hear that, what's your cattle and the then cattle we're mutilation. Hear, yeah, yes. I want to hear all about that.
You're on a ranch...
Yes, and I've been hearing about
it. Is it your cattle? Do you have your own cattle?
It's not my cattle. It's not my cattle.
How did you hear about it?
Well, from my neighbor.
Okay.
From both of my neighbors on either side. So, I mean, we live in a really small community. The town is 400 people. We recently got a gas station and an Ace Hardware, and like we think we're New York City now. Like this is, you know, crazy. Anyhow, within like 2 days, my neighbor to the south told me that like, oh, you know, he had a picture on his cell phone. This guy is like, he's a Yaqui Indian. He's got a flip phone. The picture was all, you know, really, I'm like, I don't know if this is, you know, who? And he's like, yeah, this was on Jim Healy's property. I don't know if I should say his name.
That's between you and Jim.
He wouldn't know what a podcast. I mean, this guy, he's got one pair of overalls and a billion acres. I mean, he's richer than he knows, all in dirt. Really great guy. Like, anyhow, would never lie. Yeah. Anyways, he was doing some excavating for my neighbor to the north and told him about it too. And then my tile guy, the guy who was doing the tile work for the container home that my wife and I are building, comes over in the, it actually happened on his property. They were Jim's cattle, but it was my tile guy Dana's property that the cattle were on. Okay. And so, because they rotate fields and whatever. And
when
anyhow.
Is this, by the way? What time is this of year? Is it recent? This is recent.
Oh, this is like, let's see, would have been, I think the actual cattle mutilation happened 2 months ago in September.
Okay. So and still summery.
Yes, it was still warm for sure. I didn't finally, I was curious enough that I had to interview everybody involved. So I went and, you know, got the mics out and was like, okay, we're telling these stories, you know, on the record. Cause like there's no one out here. It did have an article in like the Trinidad Gazette, which is the smallest little city close to us, 11,000 person town. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, but yeah, so I hear about a cattle mutilation from two of my neighbors on both sides of me and then the guy doing my tile, and it happened on his property. And so the story goes from my tile guy, who I think is the most credible source.
That's true of all tile guys.
Yeah, I've always found them to be, you know.
Yeah, yes, in the world of home repair, most of them you can't trust, but a tile guy you can take.
This guy is like the bread and butter. He only does tile. He's really competent. He could do a lot of other handyman things, but he's like, I like tile and I only do tile.
Yeah.
And like I'm trying to get him to build my fireplace. He's like, no, that's brick. Like he just does tile. Anyhow, great guy. He calls himself a dreadneck because he's got like dreads on half of his head and the other side is like kind of like shaved down. He lives in a yurt in the middle of nowhere. He's just this, you know, shaman-esque type of guy. Anyhow, Jim comes over to his property, his neighbor, and is like, hey, can you fix my suspenders, my overalls? I can't reach them. And he was like, yeah, of course. He's like, but that's not why I'm here.
He traveled 1,000 acres.
He's like, I'm here because he was, Dana was gone that weekend. And when he came home, he saw that someone had opened his gate and there's tire tracks leading all the way out to the middle of his pasture. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, that's kind of weird. Anyhow, like he wasn't home for more than 20 minutes before Jim shows up. Anyhow, telling him like, hey, there's something really weird that happened out on your property. And I took the cow away because I didn't want you to have to deal with it. I know you don't have any heavy machinery to lift this thing up or anything. So like, I'm the one who unlocked your gate, you know, and came and got my cow that was killed. Mm-hmm. And he had the vet come out and look at it. And there, one, the rest of the herd is completely on the other side of the pasture. At the farthest point they could possibly be on the fenced in 35 acres that were there away from this dead.
Got the hell away from that. Okay.
And all bunched up. You know, I'm not a cattleman or a cowboy, but I was told from them that it's pretty strange for them to be all like clearly, you know, afraid or, you know, aware of something else going on where they were all, they're not, you know, they're not spread out. They're all hurled up in some area. Like they were rounded up there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, this cow had its tongue removed from the base with surgical precision. It's a 14-inch tongue all the way down removed. There's no other blood on the ground. And I've got photos of this.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other blood on the ground. There's no blood on the skin of the cow. The tongue mm-hmm. is just seemingly gone.
Gone. And no, like, no and even blood around the muzzle or anything.
No blood around the muzzle. Wow. No, like, you know, no claw marks, no footprints anywhere leading in or out mm-hmm. from the cow.
And no other signs of trauma to the cow?
No, there was then very strange. And what's wild about this is, as I'm sure you guys have heard from your research and encountered in other podcasts and UAP, UFO happenings, things of that sort with other cattle mutilations, they remove like a circular piece of skin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've heard of that and like, I can't believe this is, you know, what I'm being told is happening. Not even 10 miles from my house, and 10 miles here is, I mean, like that's next door,
right?
There's three neighbors between me and this ranch, you know?
Like, yeah.
Anyhow. Wow. Yeah. So there was a circular piece of skin.
You know, how large was that?
Yeah. I could send you guys a picture too. Like it was probably 12 inches ish in diameter.
Inches? Oh, so large.
Large. Yeah. It's like on the shoulder area, like,
yeah,
here-ish of the cow, I guess. And it didn't look like, it's not a perfect circle, but the cow could also have moved. Like it's definitely got some very like circular cut edges, and it's just the, you know, the hide is removed.
Yeah.
And there's no burn, no cut marks. I mean, it looks like someone came in with a razor blade and just tried to draw a circle, you
and
know.
No, and no blood at that.
No blood on the hide, no blood on the ground. This cow's just laying there dead with no footprints, no claw marks, no blood on the grass, no blood on the hide. Complete mystery.
And neither of those like injuries seem like they would explain the cow being dead either.
I mean, and that is actually true. Yeah. I mean, like it could survive without bleeding out. There would be signs of trauma. You know, like the tongue could be removed, and with the surgical precision that it was, it wouldn't kill the cow. And certainly this section of hide being removed, like, wouldn't kill the cow. So
it wouldn't entertain the cow, but probably wouldn't kill it.
Be fun for the cow.
Was the cow taken to a vet or anything?
They had the vet come out. They had the vet you know, these are
that's
local
easier
mountain
than, that's
folk.
Easier than taking the cow in. Yeah.
Yeah. And ranchers, you know, like Jim came and got it with his tractor, chained it up by all four hooves and took it and buried it on his property after the vet looked at it. The vet was like, this is a supernatural phenomenon. I mean, this wasn't an animal who killed it. And nor did the vet think that that tongue could be removed by a human at the point that it was without further incisions.
Well, yeah, because it's deep inside the tongue. You said it was taken like at the root of the tongue?
14
inches down at the base of the cow's tongue.
That's far inside the skull of the cow.
Yeah, you're like cutting into the throat or opening up the mouth and cutting the cheeks further down if you're...
Yeah, even you'd have to really get the cow to cooperate.
Your neighbor, this was his, the person that found it was owner of the cow.
Correct, but they weren't, the cattle at the time weren't on his property.
On his neighbor's property.
They
were
on the neighboring property. He's got a deal worked out. And that guy, the neighboring property which the cow was found on, happened to be my tile guy.
Yeah.
Who,
So it was gone
at the time that it happened.
Yeah. So was the cow, was it, to use the proper term, exsanguinated?
I don't know what that proper term means.
All of its blood removed. Was all of the cow's blood removed?
Dave stumped us.
I can't attest to say that all of it was removed, but it would have had to have had significant amount removed.
Well, the fact that there
wouldn't
no
have been
blood around that circle.
Exactly. You got to think, like, you always hear about these stories, at least I have, you know, Texas ranches. So I'm like, there's no way this, like, I know these people, like, I know how they operate. Like, Jim's like, well, this is pretty, I'm surprised he called the vet before he buried it. Like, he was like, I got to get this off of Dana's property. He doesn't have a tractor to move it. This thing's going to start rotting and smelling. And then at least he was conscious enough to be like, well, this is quite strange. I at least got to call the vet in. So there was a vet report, but,
Did the vet have a theory about cause of death?
She was spooked.
Probably a heart attack.
I mean, could have been, I didn't see the official vet report. I talked to both Dana and Jim and got their firsthand accounts of it. You know, like I said, I'm knowing these guys, I'm surprised they called the vet. Beyond that, it's like, this is all filtered out through word of mouth. We don't have a paper. We're in a 400 person town that is actually in the largest by square footage county in Colorado. We're way spread out. There's just, you know, and so, like, I'm glad they called the vet. Like I said, the story made the Trinidad paper. But, like, there's just not a lot of coverage.
Is this the first event of its kind in this area that anybody knows about?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. Now, it's the first one. Jim's neighbor, not Dana, another guy, has kind of a skinwalker-esque story and a Polaroid photograph that, like, when I asked Dana about it, he told me that he like froze up, and this was on, I recorded it. He was just like, it's still burned in my mind. Like, I cannot get that image out of my head. There's a lot of weird things, but there has been other cattle mutilations on ranches right around us. And like, I'm only 30 miles from the New Mexican border. The panhandle of Oklahoma pops right out. Like, so Texas, Oklahoma, New Mexico, there's been lots of these reportings, this exact thing, you know. And I listen to, you know, supernatural paranormal podcasts all the time. And I hear about something, it's Skinwalker Ranch, for instance, is also, like, you know, a 6-hour drive from me, not too far.
Yeah.
So we're out in this Navajo country, middle of nowhere type of place. And I've heard about lots of similar things. I can account for at least one more cattle mutilation within our county in Colorado within the past, like, 5 years. But I've also heard about very similar, like, tongue removed, piece of hide removed in Texas. It's only maybe 200 miles away from me. And these are just, like, things I've watched on Netflix, other podcasts I've encountered. I'm like, and all of this, I mean, I remember hearing about a cattle mutilation on a ranch in Texas. a couple years ago around the pandemic and being like, wow, like it's so close to us. And then hearing about this one, and it's like, it's the exact same thing. It seems like it's staged. It's like, this can't be real. Like, I'm so into this stuff. I'm wondering if it's one of my buddies just screwing with me. But like, no, like I've, you know.
That would be an extreme.
Extreme prank.
To your buddies. I don't want a buddy.
They're going to kill a cow.
Jim's cow.
Somebody exsanguinates my bulldog. I'd be like, fuck you, man. That is not funny.
Well, because also because a cow, city folk might forget, is a really expensive piece of property. Like a cow, like you kill somebody's cow, you damage their cow. That's a felony offense. That's a felony crime.
They got titles worth thousands of dollars.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's people's livelihoods. Plus, there's no way that my neighbors could pull that off and not spill a bunch of blood somewhere. So I know it wasn't them. Yeah. It was too precise. Well, but yeah, you're right. Like, you know, I didn't realize I'm no rancher.
Yeah, nor am I. But I used to live in sheep country. And some of them had cows. Some of my friends had cattle, mostly sheep. But yeah, they're cows. They're big. They're expensive. And but also,
you can't do that to a cow. It's not nice.
I used to know the stats on this, but I've forgotten it now. But like since like Linda Moulton Howe started covering the cattle mutilation story back in I guess the 80s. I mean, there have been literally tens of thousands of incidents of cattle mutilations, and interestingly, not one arrest, not even one suspect in all that time. And again, for these are felony crimes, and that throughout, you know, decades, there hasn't been one single arrest. That in and of itself,
that's
is a
pretty
weird
bizarre.
Thing.
Yeah. That's
yeah. Like even if you want to go, oh, cattle mutilations, that's all crazy. But
you would see footprints in and out of these places too. And like, I know the ranchers around here, like if it was someone who did that, they would track them down. They would be showing up their front door with a shotgun. Cause there's, you know, out where I'm at, like you call the police, they'll say like, well, if there's a dead body, we'll come pick them up tomorrow. Like it's too far.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So people take matters into their own hands out here and
And were there any like associated sort of other events around the
That's
time?
That's what I was going to ask. Have anybody like seen anything?
Oh, certainly. Now, I can't say that they are related events, but I can say that in the years that I've lived on this property full time since the pandemic, there's not a lot of light pollution out here. I mean, I am literally, there's not a gas station within, besides the one in our local little town, which shuts its lights off and closes at 8 p.m. For 20 miles, there's no real city for 20 miles. And that's only north and south of us. Out east, there's nothing for hundreds of miles. So the light pollution is very low.
Except for all those ugly stars in the sky.
Yeah, well, yes, exactly.
They clutter up the place.
So now I got this whole like Milky Way thing showing up, you know, just
try
like
to sleep
looking
through that
blue and green. No, it's phenomenal. And when there's a full moon, it's so bright it casts a shadow out here.
Yeah.
Like it's something to behold and to be seen and really cool. And yeah, I mean, I see things almost every night that I can't explain.
Really?
They could be military drones, but like there's definitely things that move in a way that's like, wow, that's peculiar.
Are there any military bases near you?
There are. There's a ton. I mean, in Colorado, there's Fort Carson. There's another huge military base just east of me. They pretty much surround me. There's NORAD, you know, burrowed into the mountain just about 100 miles north of me. But there's definitely been some things that I have seen that have been so mine, and I've filmed them and got it recorded. So it's like I can relive this. I mean, it's easy to see Starlink out here. Very easy. You can see the space station any night. Like those things, like, whoa, what is that? And I'll get my neighbor calling me like, go look outside. I'm like, that's Starlink. Mm-hmm. But April of 2021, I saw an array of lights with a friend of mine light up above the ridge line that we have to the west of us. I mean, it's kind of hard to tell exactly, you know, it seemed like it was only a couple hundred feet above this ridge line. and the lights, they all like the array of lights like came on, like it's like all in a line, turning on like a football stadium's lights, kind of like they like popped on and they kind of got brighter in this like straight line that seemed like maybe there was some curvature to it, outward in a sense, kind of like the Millennium Falcon's light projector, you know, what also is its propulsion system, but like how that beam of light is, but they were circular and they got really bright and it started like it was either moving or stretching out and then it vanished.
Yeah.
I filmed half of this on my cell phone, and I mean, this is at night on an iPhone. It was bright enough to like, I didn't need, I'm even zoomed in. It's like, you can clearly see it. So they were bright lights. Cause you know, faint stuff. You can't see stars on an iPhone at night.
And it was a solid light, not a flickering light or
solid when it came, when they like turned on, it got solid, only more bright before it just like vanished. And it was like I said, it was like a growing, it was like multiple, this array of lights started just all turning on until there was like maybe 24 or so of these kind of circular 24. Things.
Wow. And what color was the light?
I mean, it's like bright white. Maybe, you know, I would say if you're getting into the Kelvin scale for you filmmakers, like it's a bluer light. Mm-hmm. It would have been like 5,000K or more. And yeah, then it just like vanished.
Yeah. Are you guys freaked out at all by this being seeing shit every night? I mean
like,
are you?
I was at that. I mean, I was blown away. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I mean, I'm glad that I filmed it. I watched it a million times. I'm like, should we? We ended up that buddy of mine is friends with Scott Walter. If you know who that is, he had a show on the History Channel that was like America Unearthed.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Anyhow, he had some connections to some people in government doing UAP research, and we sent it to them. Mm-hmm. And they're like, definitely UAP, like definitely not Starlink. Never heard anything more than that. And you know, I've just lived with like I've had a lot of like alien UFO kind of sightings in my whole life. But this was the clearest one that's like, and not only did I film it.
Before moving to Colorado.
Yeah, I saw some stuff back in Indiana where I grew up.
Yeah.
Had
so
a
were you into
too.
It as a were you into it as a kid, or were you did you have an experience that sort of got you into it, or what was your first experience?
The first experience I can really remember of seeing anything in the sky was being up in northern Indiana at a pond with my buddies up there. I was in a band with a guy who his family moved northward towards like Notre Dame, South Bend area. Anyway, we're out in the middle of nowhere and their buddies all go to this pond and hang out. And I was relieving myself into the pond and looking up at the sky with my other buddy. And we're just like, whoa, look at that. Like that looks like a star, but now it's like moving. Now it's stopping. Now it's moving again. Like, are you seeing this? You know, it wasn't anything crazy. It was only about as bright as a star. It just like was moving in a way that's like, that's not a, and it's not a satellite either. Like it's stopping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that was the first thing that I clearly remember and saw it with someone else so we could hold each other accountable. I ended up living with this guy for a number of years, even after he moved to LA with me and was my roommate. And so we would bring it up. From time to time, I saw another thing just driving between Colorado and Los Angeles, on the 10 freeway, just like something on the 10. I swear to God, I'm just looking like it was like something. It was like a drone. It could have been military drone. There's like right out there where like the 10-15 exchanges, by the Cajon Pass. I know there's military bases out that way, but like there were street lights. And I just saw this thing. I mean, it looked like a transformer. It just like came up and I saw it for like the glimmer as it pulled up through like the street light. It was, so it was low to the ground.
Yeah.
And then it seemingly opened up and then like went even higher. And then I lost sight of it, but I was like, I did not imagine that. I saw
that was a machine that unfolded in some way that you saw.
Yeah.
And it was landed and then rose up.
Yeah. I don't know if it was landed. I mean, like, do you guys know the Cajon Pass?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know it to go to
Vegas. It's that huge drive up. Yeah. So like it was around there. There's a lot of like elevation change in the first place, but that's all street lit. They got their street lights on the freeway coming down. And like, I saw it through that. I mean, I got enough of a glimpse of it. If it wasn't landed, it was hovering. Yes. You know, at some point in those crazy mountains, like it had to have been maybe just 15, 20 feet from the ground.
So it's crazy. And so back in Colorado, so the lights that you saw over the ridge, and you said you've had other sightings out there as well, right?
I mean, nearly nightly. Like I'm saying, like
really?
There are some things that are just like, how is that? What is that light moving in that way? There's lots of stars that seem to just change colors. And I got a really clear, like picture of this stuff out here. And it's just like that, why is that like radiating a color change? And in other times, it's just like things that kind of seem like drones. They behave like drones. I fly drones for film purposes all the time. It seems like it's moving like that. And there's military bases out here. Like I said, it could be, I don't know it, but it's military technology. But like there are definitely lights on a weekly basis out here that you see moving in the sky in ways that aren't satellites. Mm-hmm. And they're not planes. And beyond that, like, I don't know.
I did want to say about the military base, like UAP go around military bases all the time. You know, like it's sort of a dual thing. Like, yes, it could be their technology, but also it's a source of great curiosity.
It's a very good point. One of the largest military bases by size, not by personnel, is due east from my property, directly due east. I mean, if you draw, you can't drive a straight line because there's nothing there, no roads, but like, I forget the name of the base. It's like Pinyon, or I think it's named after one of the tree types out here, but anyhow, it's enormous. It's in two different states, in Kansas and Colorado. And it's just massive. And so like, you know, it would make sense that there could be, you know, either personnel, alien or military.
Yeah.
Poking around.
Is that, I don't know if have you seen the companion series to Skinwalker Ranch, the, Beyond Skinwalker Ranch series?
I haven't seen it yet.
It's quite good, but one of the things they're sort of exploring is the fact that the stuff that goes on a Skinwalker Ranch doesn't just go on a Skinwalker Ranch. There seems to be numerous hot spots for this kind of activity all across the U.S.
And I'm thinking this is a great field trip candidate, Dave. I mean, I think Greg's ranch does it. What do you have a name for your ranch?
We'd love to have you. Well, I mean, the ranch itself is called Rugby Ranch. Our little section, we just call Hunter's Ranch.
All right, that's a little scarier.
Let's go with Hunter. It's your name, and it's
exactly Hunter's Ranch. We've got plenty of acreage and plenty of places to put you up. We'd love to have you.
If you don't mind staying
in container homes, that's what my wife and I are building out here.
As long as it has beautiful tile work.
It does.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
Speaking of Skinwalker, though, I mean, two things occurred to me. One is, and I'm an avid watcher of Skinwalker Ranch, very curious, and, you know, we hope to visit someday or at least send Dave, because there's a lot of radiation there, and I'm
intermittent.
I'm a little more...
It's intermittent radiation.
Yeah, I'm a little more leery myself.
Outlast that stuff.
But when they have those cattle events, what's interesting is the behavior of the other cattle, and even before they had the show...
What happened with you guys?
Exactly. That was what honestly, apparently kind of like alerted Jim to what are the cattle doing? This behavior is very illogical and irrational, and there's no predator. Why are they all huddled up at the farthest, I think it would have been northeast point of this pasture, which has no grass. to graze. No water. It's like would have been
They just colder. Got freaked the fuck out.
They clearly got freaked. He comes on and then finds this cow and does what an old 80-some-year-old rancher does and just like, well, this is strange. I better get it out of here before it starts smelling. Luckily he called the vet, you know, because it's possible like he could have just buried this and told tales about it. And he wouldn't even talk about it for very long. He just moves on with his day.
And he acknowledged it was weird and not some, you know, very specific wolf with very specific taste.
The fact that he brought it up to both of my neighbors is like pretty strange in of itself. It had to have shocked him.
And he had never lost any other cattle in that way.
No, he had not. No, this was something that
other people near.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Apart from like this Polaroid photograph that Dana, his neighbor, and I'm sure Jim has seen or at least heard about from their other neighbor of this skinwalker type, like
I was going to get to this. What the hell's in the Polaroid? What's in the
I
Polaroid?
Haven't seen it. I want to see it. The best it could be described to me is like what a skinwalker kills something and then can be this creature, like it puts on a cloak, like the leftover parts of it or something is what's in the photograph. Dana said it looked like a corpse that had been turned inside out, but that wasn't any sort of animal that he could ever, you know, define. And it looked almost more human-like than anything else, but it definitely, I mean, he went right back to it. Like
this was on his own. He saw this and took a picture of it.
He did not. He saw the Polaroid from his neighbor. So there's these three guys, apparently are living in the most paranormal hotspot, I suppose.
Yeah.
And they're just, a couple miles into the mountains from me. So like I'm at a point where like I've got a county road that's paved leading to my driveway. It's still in the middle of nowhere, but you know, I'm not like just dirt roads driving straight into the mountain to the point where when it snows, you're stuck there until it melts.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The gas station and the paved road.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, this is practically the flexing big city. Over.
It sounds crazy. Thing about Skinwalker that I find, you know, because you can watch the show and of course be like, whatever. The craziest shit happened long before there was a show. You know, the craziest stuff having to do with cattle happened to this poor family that was just, you know, kind of doing what you and your wife were doing. They were starting a cattle business. They had purchased some land. They had been sort of working in other industries and, just thought that they had their life set up the way they wanted to until insane things started to happen with their cattle. And that gave birth to all kinds of research and that was going on and that Harry Reid fought to get funding for and was part of the, you know, OSAP study and the whole thing. So, I mean, it's.
Yeah. And again, definitely, cattle mutilation is one of those things that people like to trot out as a way to dismiss everything. As though, those people are into cattle mutilation. You know, and not understanding that isn't a dismissal because cattle mutilation is real and it's been going on for a long time.
It makes no sense. I mean, it makes no sense to me at all. I don't understand why they have to keep taking this shit.
No one's managed to explain it so far.
And, don't they have enough cow tongues at this point? Like, I don't, what are they? I mean, is it a delicacy? I don't.
I'm thinking it's a delicacy. They're coming down here. They're like, ooh, we need cow tongues tonight.
They also often like to take the anus and genitalia. That's a common thing with cattle mutilation, that all the anus and genitalia will be removed again surgically, with you know, smooth edges to the and no blood anywhere, you know. So that's, yeah, they seem to, you know, it's the whole phenomena of cattle mutilation is weird and hard to figure out. But then again, everything about, you know, UAP is, you know, it's hard to ascribe any kind of human motivation to any of the things that happen, because they are, yeah, you know, well, they aren't human.
No, not bro. No.
Hard to even ascribe.
Once served like, us tongue. That didn't go over well. Sorry, Greg, go ahead.
Animal motivation too. Like, that's the thing. Yeah. It's like, tongues removed. Ooh, could be a fox. Could be maybe a mountain lion. Well, not only would you see, you know, other form signs of distress of that animal using its claws and teeth to rip that tongue out, those animals would take a tongue, but they wouldn't just carve it, a little
torn to shreds.
They like the soft, you know, guts of these things. They like to just sort of start eating.
Or if you've ever seen like feral dog attacks out in farms too, you know, it's bloody and messy and shredding. Like, even wolves and coyotes, it's a messy death.
Really
messy.
That terrible fact about bears, which is they just start eating. They don't even kill you. Like, you know, lions will kill you and then eat you. Ooh. Bears just start eating, you know. And
bears got stuff to do. They got stuff to do. They can't wait around for you to die.
They don't care if you're alive or dead. They're just hungry. So it is so strange. I don't know what to make of it, except you're living in you've got your own sort of thing going on there.
Death in the wild is never clean. It's never you know,
well said.
It's like fur is left and hooves and just the, you know, just the stuff they spit back out. And so you guys are living with sort of regular phenomenon, but this seems like an escalation, or did it just like, this is par for the course, or does it seem like?
No, it was like next level for, like I said, I went and interviewed these guys.
Yeah,
my tile guy and the guy who was doing excavation for my neighbor. I'm like, Jim, I got to talk to you, you know.
Yeah, can you can you tell us a little bit about how those interviews went and, you know, what was their feeling? Yeah.
I mean, they were definitely like, they're honest men, you know. So now there's a microphone in the front of their face, that they were all the more defensive of like, I'm telling you, Greg, do you know how long a cow's tongue is? Like, do you think... I'm not making this up. This is the real deal. Like, here, look at this photo. You know, they were all like, this is real. They couldn't believe it either, but like, they're not going out telling, you know, fairy tales. And they're also guarded. They're not like trying to reach the news. They're not trying to be interviewed about this. They're skeptical that I'm putting a microphone in the front of it. Like, where's this going, Greg? You know, I know you got your podcast. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
But
there are people who said, you know what? I'm going to go get a ranch in Colorado because I want to be famous.
Not the case with them. They were born there and they're just still here figuring it out. Dana's a different case. The tile guy, he was just trying to, I think, leave society and somehow just, he'll do tile work on the side. But
have they seen, and is it sort of a regular, like just a known thing? Like, yeah, you'll see stuff in the sky. Are they curious about that? Do they see stuff, or is it?
I thought both of them, because I asked them both the same question, that they would be like, yes, I have seen something. Both of them were, I mean, and they've lived out here longer than I had nothing.
Wow.
They're just like, nope, haven't really seen anything up there. Don't look up. You know, they aren't curious about it, I think, the way that I am. I mean, I spend great lengths of time just staring at the sky out here at night, playing music. You know, it's part of the reason I'm here in a weird way.
Had other experiences, and it seems to be common that people who have an experience have more than one.
Yeah. I'll say this, like, I didn't think my wife was ever going to be into like cryptids and Bigfoot and the supernatural, but she is so into it now that we've been out here. She's super into Bigfoot over the past year. Her grandfather, who is technically it's her step-grandfather, but this man, it couldn't be more just straight-laced. He doesn't drink, never has. He's built over 300 homes in his life with his bare hands.
Mm-hmm.
Has three alien abduction stories.
Really?
And this guy doesn't lie. This guy, I mean, like, wow. He doesn't want to tell him. He yeah. doesn't, you know, he's not like, I just know he's telling the truth. And he's told him to us multiple times. A lot of his family's made him feel, a little bit ostracized about it. Not his yeah. immediate family, because they experienced it with him.
Oh.
His children from his first marriage. And they're all like, I think still a little spooked. I think he actually made out the best.
Yeah. And where did he have his experiences?
All of them happened up in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah. Wow.
Two of them while he was driving, one when he went into the master bedroom of his home that he built himself.
Yeah. And is anyone, I mean, you mentioned cryptids. I mean, has anyone had any sort of cryptid encounters in your area?
There's a lot of Bigfoot talk.
Yeah.
When you go to a place called Chukara, which is like into the mountains, you know, like I'm at 7,000 feet. You go up to Chukara, you're at 10,000. You know, you're in the big trees. It's not hard to get a Bigfoot conversation started up there. I have heard things on some of the Bigfoot podcasts I listen to. We listen to, what is it called? Sasquatch Chronicles. And there's been stories that people have told on there that are from Chukara. They're ranchers up there.
Yeah.
So like, it, you know, you drive into the mountains, you ask a lumberjack, like he'll be able to tell you, point you to the guy maybe who's like, yeah, you know, Mike believes in him. He's got him on his ranch. You know, it's not like everyone believes, but like you go to Chukara too. It's kind of touristy. You can't go there during the winter because there's so much snow, but like they got Bigfoot sculptures out of trees and, you know, they're selling Bigfoot teas and stuff. But there's definitely real people with real stories out that way that will tell you. Now, we haven't had anything like that where I'm at. Beyond the story, like I told you about that Polaroid on the same guy who had that cattle mutilation. His neighbor's got a Polaroid of something that, you know, burnt an image into his mind. He can't get out. Who said that it's a corpse that's pulled inside out? I don't know.
Yeah,
well, I think we're seeing not only is Bigfoot having like a revival. I mean, I you know, Bigfoot used to be like one of the doors I close, right? Like when Dave and I talk about phenomenon and UAP, like we each have these like, oh, well, I think there's something there, but that's bullshit. Or this, I think that, and all that stuff, like when the doors open, it just, you can't close it. I was terrified of Bigfoot as a kid. Like, oh my God, that In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy, where the fucking Bigfoot shows up at the cabin. And I mean, it just haunted me. And my grandfather lived out, well, it wasn't quite as nearly as remote, but in Pennsylvania, you know, he had several acres of just yard that was just dark and big plate glass window. And I was always terrified of it. But the thing that's interesting about Bigfoot, you know, we were talking to George Knapp about a month ago. And for the pod, and he was talking about the way Skinwalker is this sort of, it's just a place where it all hangs out, like all the phenomena, like, you know, the ghost, you know, you've got ghosts,
poltergeist,
you've got Skinwalker, you got poltergeist, UAP, cold feeling, like it's a place where just all the phenomenon gathers. And that is what increasingly seems so baffling, yet somehow, I don't know if logical is not the right word, but it feels like just tentacles of the same thing, right? Like expressions of something that make it, I mean, insane as it is for me to say, you know, like more like, I don't find, you know, I mean, is the Skinwalker, is that Bigfoot? Is the Bigfoot some other, you know, variation? I mean, I can't rule anything out at this point because
is it a manipulation from some
weird ass times? We're in weird ass times. And it's like, and Congress is passing UAP legislation as we speak, potentially. So it's not just us. We're not just, you know, kind of like, oh, isn't Bigfoot cool? Like, people are Skinwalker, they've seen it, and there sounds like there's not much, sounds like you could very much have your own where you're living. I hope less freakish and less intrusive. I certainly, you know, wish you and your wife peace.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Yes, have indeed.
I was going to ask the other thing. Have you guys had, is that you or any of your neighbors, any kind of poltergeist kind of activity?
You know, no one has mentioned anything like that. But I mean, like, living out here is so hard. You know, you got random things that always happen in the middle of the night, and you got to get up and go outside, and it's freezing cold. The wind's blowing 30 miles an hour right in your face, and that sometimes can feel like a poltergeist. But like,
Or just a poor decision you made.
Yeah, exactly. You know, being alone, you're talking about your uncle's big yard, just being in nothingness, that quiet. When it's pitch black and the moon's not out, and like you can hear whispers over 100 yards because it's just like that quiet, especially if there's a light snow that had just fallen, man, and you'll get into some, you'll swear you see things. I mean, there are times, and I'll admit it, as a 35-year-old man, I run to my truck when I'm coming out of my studio to come back down to our house. And like, I will look behind me in my truck bed just to be like, I know there's nothing there. And I'm spooked because I'm the only man for 100 acres in any direction, and it's just so dark and quiet. And like, I mean, I swear I've seen an Indian chief looking at me 100 times in the corner of my eyes, and it's just a tree.
Yeah,
you know, so like there's that spookiness that gets you, that comes out here. And with Bigfoot, one thing that, like, because I ask all the people out here, and like, I've got, you know, my neighbors to the south own 60,000 acres, and they do mountain lion hunts for a living. And like, you talk to people like that, and like, you ever seen Bigfoot tracks? And and the thing with hunters is always like, if it was terrestrial, they won't, you know, I think really well-spoken, open-minded hunters who spend all the time in the woods, just like my wife's father, who's a lumberjack by trade and an avid hunter. He's like literally in the woods 80% of his life. It's a thing where they're like, this isn't terrestrial. Bigfoot is not breeding on this planet, shitting on this planet, eating on this planet, denning on this planet. But if it exists, it's either, you know, coming from outer space, coming from another dimension, it's interdimensional, or it's a thing, you know, you like go Joseph Campbell, and it's like, it's the great mythology that's within that, like when your consciousness, your subconsciousness is stirred in that certain way, there's some people who see skinwalkers. There's some people who see Bigfoot. There's some people who have this, reaction to fear that paints things in their reality in the way that their, you know, the great myths of their lineage have been told. And it's whatever folklore, you know, comes to consciousness at that moment.
Well, that idea, like, that our collective consciousness can actually project into the material world in ways is,
and I certainly believe that. I think that I remember the first time I had a jump scare thing on the internet. I was a college freshman, and you're watching one of those videos. It's like, look closer. And all of a sudden, like a witch pops out at you at the screen. And like the moment that happened to me the first time, like, me and my freshman year potluck roommate hugged each other, fell back in our chair. I swear that thing came out of the computer screen and it was in the room. We had to run out, you know, it was there, could have sworn it. So like, you know, parts of me think that a lot can be painted from your subconscious into reality. Yes. But like, I also think that like, there are parts of reality we don't understand in an interdimensional realm that are also poking out at us, that are really there in their energy. And one, to some person, it might look like a Bigfoot, and it might be able to pick up a log and throw it at your campfire. But like, if you were raised in the Navajo tradition, this could be a skinwalker. Like, there's evil energy, there's good energy, there's just energy we don't know how to explain. And I think that it is poking out at us like we poke out at it.
Yeah.
And, you know, how it looks through, you know, everyone's eyes is to be interpreted differently.
Yeah. Yeah, that we bring our cultural expectations to things. And well, yeah, I mean, we know from our, you know, modern brain science and, you know, MRI, you know, fMRI scans of the brain that that whenever we look at anything, only 50% of the activity in the brain is in the visual centers of the brain. The rest is all in the memory centers. So most of what we think we're looking at any given moment is actually built of past images, built of, you know, of every time you look at a chair, you're actually looking at every chair you ever looked at before. It's,
yeah.
You're looking at your memory of chairs because your brain takes a shortcut. So obviously there's a part of the way we perceive the world is individual because it's built up of our individual memories. So yeah, there's going to be variations, you know.
We were at a talk with Travis Taylor, who's the Skinwalker Ranch sort of lead scientist, and now seems to be just neck deep in all of this stuff with Jay Stratton and working at Aerospace on reverse engineering something. Anyway, I know he was talking about the same thing, Dave. He was talking about as some of the really, really bizarre phenomenon that people reported seeing at Skinwalker, you know, could correlate to that. The brain didn't have anything in its memory banks to equate it to and just started piling images on top of images to try to make sense of something that was before them that might not have any, you know, reference in our world, or, you know, that our brains could think from, which were, you know, ridiculous images. I think there was some like a wolf smoking a cigarette. Like, they were talking about some crazy shit. The Skinwalkers at the Pentagon book is series of books that James Lakatsky and Colm Kelleher and George Knapp wrote, which are all about these secret UAP programs that the government was funding and all the stuff they found there. And it's just it's very wild stuff.
Yeah. We're seeing things like something, you know, look like a dire wolf that, you know, it's been extinct for 100,000 years, you know, like a, you know, 6 foot tall at the shoulder wolf. And then, of course, the 7 foot tall bipedal wolves that we're seeing. Yeah. And that seemed to be following people to back home with them, you know, showing up in, you know,
yeah, the hitchhiker phenomena. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's yeah, there's some.
Have you guys heard about the Navajo Rangers?
They were sort of I think a buddy of mine is doing a sort of series kind of about them. What's it called? Is it Dark Skies or something? I think so. Yeah. I mean, are they around you or what? Because there was, I've seen
not
some
too
stories
far. I mean,
done
like
on
Ship Rock, and that highway in New Mexico that was changed from 666 to now it's like 481.
Mm-hmm.
Because people were just like, were going there. Maybe it was related, maybe it wasn't, but I know me and my wife have looked into the stories in the book, that these two Navajo Rangers wrote about their experience just, you know, reporting on paranormal activity on the Navajo reservations, which is not too far from where we're at.
I see.
It's crazy the amount of stories that involve dogs or dog-like creatures, wolf-like, running at speeds like as fast as a car up mm-hmm. and down this particular highway.
There's a good Unsolved Mysteries about these guys for sure, because I think I saw that
and there is
Skinwalker and Bigfoot and people having these sort of regular encounters with these things.
The one time me and my wife went there, we were going there for our own podcast to drive up to Ship Rock, and right before it was weird. Right before we got on the actual road off of I-40, we were like, let's stop and get a snack. And that became a fiasco. Like we sat in their drive through for 30 minutes. No one, like, they took our order and then just wouldn't come to the window. And we're like, okay, we'll just back up out of this. We'll go to Starbucks. And that was like a whole thing. And then we got so frustrated with each other. It was just really weird. We get on finally onto the road and we're so mad at each other. And they say that this, you know, area just kind of takes control of your emotions. And we see this pack of stray dogs, these feral dogs, a bunch of them running on the road. And like, this is fucking weird.
That's weird.
And then we turn a corner and there's a huge wreck, like a semi just smashed into the side of a mountain off the road. And it was just like, whoa, we didn't see anything else after that. But it was like right when we got on, all this negative energy. And then we saw a pack of stray dogs. They didn't run at the speed of our car or anything, but it was just like weird, like feral dogs, like a pack of them. They look mean. They're mangy. There's five of them and they're just trotting upside the road. And then we turned this corner and there's a semi just smashed inside, and it had just happened. Like there wasn't emergency personnel there yet. We're like, should we call? Should we turn around? Yeah. I don't know if we're qualified. You know,
feral dogs.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure the dogs will take care of it.
Dogs may have taken care of it.
Yeah.
There's some place where the membrane is thin, you know, it's just, there's some places where the membrane is thin. I, you know, I think I grew up in a, when I grew up, spent 2 years in a house like that, you know, as a child. And I think that, you know, that idea just has taken on so much more, I don't know, credibility with everything, that we're hearing now of just places that just might, you know, they just might have, a kind of closer access to, teeming universe of life that we just might not be able to see or experience yet, except in these ways that make no sense to us.
And well, Gary Nolan at Stanford has done some research that he thinks he's narrowing in on a part of the brain that may be particularly enlarged in some people who have more paranormal experiences, people who have like clairvoyance or, witness things like UFOs or cryptids, and you know, or just, or you know, or have religious experiences. That this, I forget what it's called, the caudate putamen or something. I forget what it is.
I'll take your word.
Small, but it's a small part of the brain that he thinks is linked to higher levels of intuition, and that it seems to run in families. And oddly enough, it seems to run like, in married couples that form, they tend to both, a lot of the times, both have this elevated little activity in their brain, in this section of the brain. So, you know, he thinks there's, you know, that people are, you know, are drawn to each other that have these abilities. So, and it's obviously that people who have experiences tend to have more than one experience. You know, sometimes a variety of different kinds of weird experiences. At least see multiple, like the fact that you've seen multiple sort of UAP.
My wife's had a very serious ghost experience, and that she,
and it's related,
And it's weird. We both of this has come out more in our lives, me and Rachel, since we were just married, like, let's see, 2 years ago. So, but like, suddenly find ourselves like, we just want to do a cryptid podcast. We just want to be investigating these things. Like, it just, like, it's really, it's funny you mention that, because it's like, she comes more from like, she's had kind of some, in her childhood, there was like a ghost train thing. She had an experience in London of like a ghost moving her bed, moving her mattress. Mm-hmm. And I myself have had no real ghost experiences. Had a radio turn on when I was a kid that was inexplicable. But beyond that, nothing really like that. But since we've been married, there's been weird things, and we've just been way more curious about things, and it's seemingly bringing it out of both of us more. Like, we literally listen to Bigfoot podcast to fall asleep every night, like, bar none. That's just what we listen to.
It's nice you can share it.
It is.
I wonder if I can get Christina to listen to, because I have to watch like murder stuff, and it really fucking bums me out. Like, I got, you know, and she goes to sleeping like a baby, and I'm just getting murder.
This was our compromise, because I'm right with you, Tom. Like, my wife loves murder. I'm like, this puts me in a bad mood, a bad place. I could never fall asleep to this.
Yeah, me either. I can't.
Serial killers.
And it seems to be a very broadly true that women love murder.
I'm suspicious myself, and I just gotta get her on like people
being murdered by a Bigfoot. See, that's now the
that's
fear
where I live.
Yeah, that's exactly. So that was our middle ground, was Bigfoot.
Yeah. So do you think you guys will branch out? I know the Catholic Church would be happy if you guys would get into this.
Yeah, I want to hear your thing. You've got a lot of sort of balls in the air here. You got this cool, you know, you've got Deadly Diocese, which is really cool. I'm in the middle of. You've got Seven Deadly Sinners, you're describing sort of cults, and what would be your description of that for our listeners if they're
Seven Deadly Sinners is just taking down con men of all sorts, whatever the con is. Most of the time it involves a religion or involves the second coming, and the con man himself is calling himself Christ or, you know, the enlightened one in every scenario. We touched on people. There's this woman in Texas who's like, I'm a, Vermilion Lizard Lord, and I've got all my spaceships, and like I'm just here in a human body, you know. There's and the people listen to him. It's crazy. As they empty their bank accounts out and, you know, just take people, you know, it's wild. But if you like taking down con men, cult leaders, televangelists who have no business, you know, speaking about religion or giving you spiritual advice, Seven Deadly Sinners is a great listen. If you're in more of a, like, I want a concrete singular story about one murder, Deadly Diocese is about a Catholic priest who was probably murdered for releasing details that he probably shouldn't have known about certain crimes within the diocese. It's a very kind of mobster undercover story, as we were told through our research by a former seminarian who's now a truck driver, that the Catholic Church makes the mob look like kindergartners, is what he told us. And I believe him. I mean,
in terms of being able to close ranks and protect its own. And
Well, I mean,
they got a lot of money and power.
The scandals alone. Who knew Buffalo was so fucked up? I mean, issues in Buffalo.
No, I grew up next door, you know.
Yeah.
You know, being in Toronto, Buffalo is, you know, our next door neighbor.
And was there troubles in Buffalo? Because they've got issues.
Fire. It was all, you know, it was like all the eyewitness
news.
It was constantly on fire. That's basically all the news reported were fires.
Right. It was insurance money scams.
Yeah. Exactly. Arsons.
No offense to our Buffalo listeners. I mean, I'm just saying. It's just like.
Love Buffalo. Been there multiple times now. Never thought I'd spend so much time in Buffalo, but I got to say.
People.
We've met some of the best people. We've gone into bars and just been like, hey, anybody know anything about the mysterious death of Father Joe Moreno? And people come out of the woodwork. We met the guys, the gay couple that bought the Bishop's Mansion when he was forced to sell it in order to pay for lawsuits. Mm. Of victims. These guys bought the Bishop's, it's the most expensive piece of real estate in Buffalo. And they purchased the old Bishop's Mansion and told us all kinds of stories about what condition it was in when they got it from the Catholic Church. And like, these guys are boozers. They had to take like 355-gallon trash cans and smash all the bottles, break them just to fit them to get it out. Just wild stuff. They all have lockers in there with their names on it. All of the priests that, you know, are allegedly accused of sex crimes. It's just happened to all have a locker up there on like the third floor of this mansion. It's wild. It's a really old place. The two guys who own it now were so kind to invite Rachel and I to their home and let us like tour the mansion and show us. They still have the lockers. The names are still on it. You'll love this. One of the names of one of the priests is Peter Papadick. That's his real name.
Come on.
Really? That's
and it's on the locker still and, there.
And priests change their names.
You'd think this
they
guy,
take
yeah.
on their
or he did.
Names.
Or he changed or, his yeah, name.
Yeah. I'd like to be Papa Dick.
Yeah. Is that taken?
Why? Well, I just consider it fair warning.
Yeah. is that an option?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, Deadly Diocese is a good listen. Recommending it to our listeners and
the seven deadly sins.
Seven deadly sinners.
I'm going to give that.
To Dave's question, Greg, do you think you guys will tackle the cryptids? I would love, you know, we like post New Year or whatever. We want to get out in kind of the field more and visit places and talk to folks. So we'd love to check out your ranch. And
love to have you. I mean, my wife and I are both kind of in entertainment. She was a comedian, is a comedian. I'm a musician. I was in a band for a decade.
Yeah.
My new band that I've been working on is all cryptids. It's called Tunnel Vision Pipe Dream, and like all the songs are about aliens or UFOs or things like that. And
would you describe your music as alt rock or metal or? I'm going to assume not Christian rock.
Definitely not. Definitely not. I would say it's like cryptid rock. It's just really far out there. It's like Pink Floyd meets My Morning Jacket meets Little Taking Back Sunday.
Where did your wife do comedy?
All over. I mean, she toured for years. When we first met before the pandemic, I was always on tour with her. We were in Pennsylvania, Delaware, Philly. Doing stand-up. Yeah, she...
I'm blanking on her name from...
Rachel O'Brien. Rachel O'Brien is her name.
Oh.
She used to go to the Comedy Store like every week. She lived for ULAers on... pretty much La Cienega and Holloway. And so she just waltzed right up to the Comedy Store and did comedy for a decade. She did USO tours. She toured the world. She toured in Europe, you know, did it all.
Yeah.
And then the pandemic kind of like just changed our whole life when we moved out of LA, moved to the middle of nowhere. And then we're like, let's go a bit harder on podcasts. And we had got the story from the Deadly Diocese. Tale was told to us through in an email from the when they got a second autopsy done by Cyril Wecht, the guy who did JonBenet Ramsey, JFK, Brittany Murphy, Anna Nicole Smith. He's if you got a you know, celebrity murder on your hands, you get Cyril Wecht. Anyhow, the autopsy tech for that second autopsy is the one who reached out to us. Is like, you want to hear about a story that involves a priest who was apparently, it was ruled a suicide with two bullet wounds in his head. And he was best friends with Jay Leno. We were like, what? So we
and apparently shot himself like this, right? Like he didn't have use of his left.
It was his left hand was wounded in a stabbing 4 years earlier. And so his left hand was essentially, the nerves were damaged. It was more or less paralyzed. He wouldn't have been able to pull the trigger of a 38.
But he was shot. He was shot on the left side of his back.
You know, if you go behind your ear and pull it back about 2 inches on the left side, but he would have had to do it with his right hand since his left hand was paralyzed. He's also right hand dominated, you know, and a million suicides that Sarah Wecht had said he'd never, people who kill themselves either do it here.
Yeah. No one does
here,
this.
Or here. Why would, no one goes. Yeah,
maybe you might even
you have to go around like that. Past. And this particular man was 300 pounds, very heavy set, wide shoulders. Like he ergonomically could not put his right hand across to where the gun would have had to have entered. Not only that, the projectile, I mean, it went forward. There wasn't a burn mark. We asked 10 policemen. We even asked the policeman who was on the scene there. A 38, and we even did a ballistics test. If you put a 38 against human skin, like there's going to be a burn mark. If you put a 38 within 10 inches, there's going to be a burn mark and muzzle flash residue. There was nothing like that. He had to have been shot from at least 2 feet away. The bullet 38 also didn't exit, all the more reason. Like if it was pressed against his own head, the bullet would have exited. There's a million incongruencies. One of the best is the fact that the gun found at the scene was not his gun. It was turned into police in 1998 to be destroyed. So answer that one, Buffalo PD.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's good stuff. People should tune in.
Yeah. So definitely Deadly Diocese. And so you guys will do your cryptid? What do you think? You're gonna do
that's the plan. Okay. That's the plan. You know, we want to get into it more and more. Yeah. We got a lot to report on around here. We love doing it. There's all kinds of just crazy stories.
And you said you're not that far, and you're not that far from Skinwalker.
Exactly.
The Uinta Basin's pretty lively.
So we'd love to have you guys out. We could do
we'd love to see
research.
That footage and all that shit. Absolutely. Yeah. Sounds really cool.
Happily send
and
it
beautiful.
To you.
Beautiful. Sounds fantastic.
It's great. You'd love it.
Cool. Well, to be continued, Greg. This was fantastic. So much.
Yeah, thanks
cool
so
stuff
much for coming on.
We yeah, really
thanks for having
it.
Me.
Yeah. It was our pleasure, and we're gonna like stay in touch. Let us know if anything else is going on. We would love to meet Rachel at some point, and and maybe we can figure out some sort of visit, because this, I mean, we've been really, I mean, I've certainly been really interested in finding places sort of like Skinwalker, places where things are going on that haven't, that are not completely in the sort of bloodstream yet of this thing. Yeah, it would be fascinating.
Yeah, I got a whole observation deck, you know, just, we just have to plan a good night to look out, break out the telescopes. I'm positive we'll see something. If nothing else, at least a shooting star.
I like it.
Yeah. And I like it. It sounds like it'd be well worth it just for the natural beauty of the place. And you guys sound like nice people too. So that would be nice.
We're all right.
We're not nice. We're not. Dave is terrible to deal with.
Yeah. You'll regret
impossible. Yes, impossible on a trip. Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, thank you, buddy.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from L.A. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.